Now I want to read just a few verses from this psalm with you to kind of set the stage for our reflection together this morning on this second to the last day of the year. Psalm 90, this is a psalm of Moses, a prayer of Moses, the man of God, it says in my Bible, under Psalm 90. So I want to read verses 1 through 6 with you. I want to skip down to verse 10 and then read to the end of verse 14. So Moses in this prayer says, Lord, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered, just like that. Verse 10, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass away and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due your name. Or, if you'd rather, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your name. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. I really want to focus on verse 12. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So I said that in 2 days, 2018 will be history. And my question is for you, was it a good year for you? So maybe this is a year where some of you got really good grades. You did your very best and you saw improvement on your report cards. You've been doing well in school. Perhaps this is a year when some of you got married, or a year where you got a new job or a promotion at work. Or maybe this was a year where you can say, hey, I have remained in good health. I've been blessed with good health and strength this past year. Or maybe this is a year where you say, you know what, despite the ups and downs of my retirement portfolio, it's still intact. The markets have gone up, the markets have gone down, but I'm going to be okay. Has it been a good year for you? Others of you might look back and say, well, you know what, it's been kind of mixed. I've been blessed in so many ways. I have so many things to be thankful. That is for sure. But it was also a challenging year. It was a challenging year in which I encountered some difficulty, some real difficult circumstances. It was a challenging year in which I encountered some real hurts, some real disappointments, or maybe even loss. Maybe you look back and you say, this was a very mixed year. There were some regrets as you look back. Or there were some missed opportunities that you say, oh man, I wish. Maybe there were some things this past year that you would just like to have a do-over. And you would choose to do things differently. Maybe take a wiser course of action. But one thing I do know, and you know it too, and Moses knew it in his prayer, and that is that we can't relive the year. Once the year is done, it's done, right? Life keeps moving on. Yesterday will never be today again. And there are no do-overs. And here's the deal. You and I only get a certain number of days. Teach us to number our days. We only get a certain number of days. And exactly how many, exactly what our number is, none of us really know. Probably a good thing to it. But at the, you know, at the end of our lives, if we get to the point where we're still able to think about it and we wonder, well, you know, where did all of our days go? It seems to have gone so quickly, so fast. Tucked away in the heart of this Bible that we have before us, maybe on our laps or in front of you, tucked away in the heart of this Bible is this psalm that reminds us of the sobering reality that our lives here are oh so brief. It's funny how when I was young, I had my whole life ahead of me, and I thought, wow, you know, will I ever graduate from high school? And of course, now in a very different season of life, you look at life different and you say, well, where did it go? Here's what Moses said in the psalm. They are like, that is to say, our lives, the new grass of the morning. In the morning, the new grass springs up, but by evening, it's gone. He's saying that's what the length of our lives so often are like. That's how it feels to us sometimes, particularly in the latter part of our life. In the morning, it springs up new, but by evening, it's dry. It is withered. Our days may come to 70 or 80 or maybe 90 today, but they pass by so quickly and then it's over. And that is, of course, assuming that you and I will reach old age. And, of course, that's maybe an assumption that we have, but there are no guarantees because we have had all too many instances in which someone that we love or someone that we know has died at an age that has been, at least it seems to us, painfully early. You get it. Life is fragile. There are no guarantees. And I'll tell you what, as a high school student, when we lost three in our senior class, that was the first inkling that I had that there are no guarantees, even at a young age. But right on the heels of this reference to the reality that life is so short and so fragile and sometimes filled with trouble is this simple prayer of Moses that you and I would do well to repeat often. Here's what Moses said. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Or as Ken Taylor paraphrased it, teach us to number our days and recognize how few they can be that we might spend them as we should. Now, you and I only have one life. We acknowledged that a few minutes ago. And we can live them in any way. We can live our lives. You can live your life. I can live my life in any way we choose. It is a choice that we have to make, but it is a choice that has great implications. Every 24 hours, another day goes by. Every 365 days, another year goes by. We cannot go back and reclaim that day. We cannot go back and reclaim the choices that we have made in that day or in that year. Once a day is lived, once a year is lived, once a decade is lived, It is gone. And so my question for you, and really for me, all of us together this morning, is this: how are you, how am I spending our limited, numbered days here? And here's a big part of the problem that you and I face in trying to wrap our heads around this question. Here's a big part of the challenge that we face, and that is we're all pretty busy. We all have plenty to do. We all have a lot on our fork. We have work. Work consumes a large part of our daily life, a large part of our strength, a large part of our mental, emotional, even sometimes spiritual energy. And for some, work consumes a larger part of their life than it really ought to. It consumes a larger part of their life than is healthy. And then there are the personal tasks, of course. You know, they're the things that you and I have to do. And of course, part of that is that we have to get some sleep. Some of us don't get enough sleep. We recognize that. Some of us get more sleep. Some of us are able to get by on a little bit. Sleep is an activity for us. Then there is the household responsibilities, right? There's the responsibilities within the household. There's the responsibility outside of the household. And then there's those other areas of life. You just imagine your life as slices of a pie. And it wouldn't take you very long, you know, to take a little pen or a marker and to identify the various slices of your life, which is just a part of the things, the routine, the responsibility, the rhythm, the obligations that you have in your life, all of which make your life very full, and mine too. And if you're parents of young children, then your life is very full. If you're parents of school-age children, you know, then you know, there are the music lessons, right? There are the sports activities. There are the sleepovers. There are the parent-teacher conferences. There are the school programs. And now if you were up here, you would say, well, Pastor Jack, let me really tell you what life is like. Your life is very, very full. You're always on the go. If you do what health professionals advise you to do, and you'll be hearing it big time in the next few weeks, then you will go out and you will buy a treadmill, or you will buy the latest exercise equipment, or you will buy a membership in a health club, and you will take the time for exercise, because all of us, we're told, need exercise. Exercise is important if we want to stretch out the number of our days. And then there are the unexpected things that happen, right? So the car breaks down and the garage door opener jams, and somebody in your household gets sick, and then the next one in your household. And then there's the crisis at work and the incessant phone calls from work. Of course, you need some downtime too, and so you try to carve out just a little bit of chill time. And some of you are nodding your heads, and you know exactly, because this is resonating with you and you're getting it. In an article in the USA Today, experts in the area of sleep, experts in the area of physical fitness and family life, and in a number of other critical, quote-unquote, in other words, very important areas of family life, were asked this question: how much time does the average person need to devote to your field of study? So if it's an exercise, okay, that area, this area, and when they added up the minimal time that these experts each had submitted, the minimal amount of time just to get by, not to excel in, but just that the average adult really should be spending in each one of these important critical areas, it added up to 36 hours every day. By the way, how many hours are in a day?
Multitasking.
So Brad is trying to figure this out. He says multitasking. Some of you are really adept at multitasking. Others of us can only do one thing at a time. 36 hours in a 24-hour day, and that's what we're supposed to be doing, according to the experts, just to get by and live our lives. So here's the problem. With all of the preoccupation with the responsibilities and the obligation and the demands of our lives, I wonder how many of us are missing out on what matters most in life. Jesus once was asked, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" And if you attend worship here regularly, you know almost by heart Jesus' response, because we have referred to this response of Jesus often over the years of my ministry here. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength." Oh, but that's not the end of it. There is a second, just as important, he says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." The greatest priority in life, says Jesus, is to love God. And the most important thing that you can do in life, says Jesus, is to love God and to pursue the things of God. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all the other things will be added to you as well. But seek first the kingdom of God." But this requires something of us, doesn't it? Loving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength means something more than just praying on the run. You know what I mean by praying on the run? Sure you know. It means something more than just showing up here on a Sunday for an hour or so. It means something more than trying to squeeze God somewhere into the slices of our life, almost as if, truth be told, he was an afterthought. To love God with all of our heart, to love God with all of our soul and mind and strength requires intentionality. Requires intentionality about cultivating our walk with him. Intentionality about cultivating a deeper walk with him, a richer love for him, a greater desire for him. And let me tell you, friends, that these three things just don't happen. It's not as if we just pray this prayer, on the run, and then he gives us this deeper walk, love, desire. These are things that have to be cultivated within us intentionally, but they can only be cultivated within us when we position ourselves to receive these things and to experience these things. And part of what all of this means, part of what it means, is regularly participating in worship. It's regularly participating in opportunities for spiritual growth with other Christians who have the same desire to grow and to deepen. It means meeting God personally with him, in Scripture, through Scripture, through prayer. If you read the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, you'll find that before his ministry, Jesus went to the desert to be alone, to be with his Father. And a matter of fact, the very first chapter in Mark says, very early in the morning, and this is This is just before Jesus launches his ministry. Very early in the morning, while it was dark, Jesus got up and he left the house and he went off to a solitary place to pray. Before he chose his 12 disciples, what did he do? He climbed a mountain and he prayed. After he feeds 5,000, he withdrew to be alone, apart from his disciples, to pray. When he hears the bad news about the death of John the Baptist, his good friend, his dear friend, John the Baptist, the one who said earlier, "Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world." When he hears about John's death, he grieves and he goes to pray. In fact, right up until the time of the cross. Oh, the Garden of Gethsemane. What did he do in the garden, huh? He prayed. Quiet time with God was absolutely non-negotiable for Jesus. And he taught his followers to do the same. But you know, many of us find it very hard. We find it very hard to find the time to pray. Find it very hard to find the time to spend in Scripture. We find it very hard to gather with like-minded people in small groups or in Bible studies, to learn together, to encourage each other, to hold each other accountable, to stir one another up. Is it because our lives are busier than Jesus was? I mean, if you read the Gospels, you know, hardly. Is it because maybe it's not exactly our first priority, given the busy pace of our lives? It is something desired but not always something that we devote ourselves to? Given all of the activities that compete for our limited time, you know, maybe that's a little bit closer to reality. I wonder how many of us put ourselves in the position where we have become so busy that we find ourselves neglecting the very things that keep our faith fresh and alive and our relationship with Jesus Christ growing. As I said before, spiritual growth doesn't just happen. You know, God doesn't just lay it on us, right? Spiritual growth doesn't just happen like so many other things that we come to expect in our microwave society. How can we know God? How can we know how great is He? How can we know how worthy He is of our faith and trust? How can we experience God's presence if the hurry and rush that fill our lives crowd Him out? So, did the math. And if you and I were to live to be 90 years old, there's a few here that have achieved that, but if we were to live to be 90 years old, you would get 788,400 hours. If you died on your 90th birthday, you would get That's a lot of hours. And wouldn't it be ironic if at the end of our lives, at life's end, we would have to say, "God, I was just so busy. I was just so busy. I didn't have much time to pursue a deeper walk with you, a greater love for you. I didn't have much time to serve you. Well, the second important thing in Jesus, in life, Jesus said, is to love others. And again, we see this in Jesus' life. He modeled the first one, and now again we see that he lives out the second most critically important thing in life. And he cared about people, he loved them, he reached out to them, he was never too busy to minister to them. You read the Gospels and you read often that Jesus was absolutely exhausted, and yet he continues to reach out to people. Even when the disciples tried to say, oh, enough is enough, he selflessly gave himself for people, even dying for people. And over he taught them, his disciples, and over he teaches us in the pages of the gospel that there is no greater value than loving and serving people. And I don't know about you, but what I know is that I don't want my life to be just about me. And you and I both come across people, and it's pretty obvious that their lives are just about themselves. You hear it in their talk. And you see it in the way in which they live. I don't want to be one of those people. And in order for that to happen, I need to make time for that. I want to notice people who are in need. Not because I'm supposed to. Not because you all would expect that that's what pastors do. But because I have become the kind of person who loves God and who genuinely loves the people that God loves and cares about. I want to have space in my heart and in my life for people who could use some encouragement, for people who could use some help. I want to do what I can to make life better in some way for people, instead of always focusing my life, my responsibility, you know, always focusing on my busyness, always focusing on my tiredness, always focusing on my hopes and my dreams, always focusing on my family. I do not want to grow old and not know the joy of having made a difference in the lives of other people. Because that is the reason why God has placed you here. And that is the reason why God has placed all of us here. This is our one and only chance at life. There are no do-overs, as I have said. One day we're all going to have to stand before God, and he's going to ask us, what did we do with the resources that he's given us? Are we going to do with the gifts that he has given us, with the aptitude that he has given us, with the talents that he has given us? And what are we going to do with the time? Yes, the time that he has given us. And I want to hear those words. What are those words that we all want to hear? Yeah. You know, there's an old saying, if the devil can't make you bad, do you know it? He'll make you busy, Jan. And as a result, so many people miss out on what really matters in life. And some people say to themselves, well, I'll get around to the important things in my life someday when I have more time. You know, it is important to me. Hang on, I'm going to get to that point in life someday when I can actually live this out. I'm going to align my life with what's most important when things are not so busy. I just need right now more hours in my day. But the truth is, if we're waiting for a less demanding day, if we're waiting for life to slow down, chances are we are going to wait for a very, very long time. And even those of you who are retirees, I don't know how many times I have heard you say to me, man, I don't know where the days go by. I am busier now than I ever have been. And I'm sure they're filled with all good things. But here's the question for all of us. Are they filled with the most important things? Other folks try to handle the challenge of a busy life by trying to shoehorn what they consider important into marble-sized commitments. And so they, as I say, they prey on the run and they skim over relationships and they serve when they have a minute or two here or a minute or two there to squeeze it into their very busy schedules. But in the end, their efforts amount to very little. Jesus did not say, seek first the other things that everybody else in our culture, in our society seek, and then the kingdom will be added to you. He didn't say that. He said, seek first the kingdom. He said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And friends, this is a great time of the year. As we look back and as we are about to step into the new year, this is a great time of the year to take stock of our lives and to determine for us what is essential and what is not. It is a good time of the year to think about the non-negotiables, to assess our priorities, and then to determine in the new year what our non-negotiables will be. And what if in the coming year, what if you and I were to do something different? What if we were to say to ourselves, I am not going to let the activities of life squeeze out what is most important. I am willing to let other things go, even though they feel all important. I'm being told they're all important. But I am willing to let some other things go rather than to go through another year missing out on what God wants for me. Somehow, I'm going to find a way, somehow, to put first things first, and I'm going to trust God that He's going to help me do that. What does Psalm 90 say? Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let's pray together. Lord God, I pray that the words of your word this morning and the reflections of our hearts this morning would take root in our lives. I pray that you would give us the courage to be honest with ourselves, the willingness to take risks and to be bold, to hear what you would have to say to us this morning at year's end, and to make it a reality in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.